Well, it's March 25th, and this is the Urantia Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Watkins, and it's good to be back here. And I want to thank those who have listened and continue to listen and download and follow this podcast on the Urantia Book, studying and sharing the Revelation. And we're going to talk a lot about some of the upcoming events that are going to be transpiring in the next 6 months from the various Urantia organizations. We've got some good information to pass along. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist, who has his birthday on March 25th, and just some personal viewpoints on just how wonderful I think John was and what he did and what he had to endure. And then also we'll cover some of the things that are going on with the Urantia Book Internet School. That's coming up real soon here. There's some interesting anecdotes that I want to share with you there. And so thank you for joining me on the Urantia Radio Podcast. So it is, of course, yes, John the Baptist's birthday. Can you believe this? Ever think that maybe he would be a great person to profile in a movie? I mean, he is really an exceptional, one of the more exceptional human beings that have ever lived on our world for a variety of different reasons, which I can disclose and will blow you away, really, literally. I mean, if you do a deep dive on just how important John the Baptist was, it's almost sad that he isn't more brought up. I mean, for example, does anybody really know that today is his birthday? No, they don't, because he didn't survive time. And the Urantia Book, thank goodness, gives us the narrative of Jesus. And so therefore, we are introduced to John the Baptist and given a real good analysis of his life, and he was such an exemplary man. Now, he was, of course, in paper 45, mentioned as the forerunner of Michael's bestowal mission on Urantia, but he was also the first distant cousin, I think a second cousin, of the Son of Man, if I'm not mistaken. And he's considered among the great religious teachers of our history, the history of our world. In paper 92, we learn all about the first century and what he as a religious teacher, and that he established the cult that was later to be the foundation of the Jesus followers. So John really set the way, and he, in two things that he did, is he prepared Jerusalem, or back then Palestine, as best he could for the coming of the Son of Man. Because he was out there prophesying that Jesus was going to come, or that the Son of Man would soon arrive, and the old days were passing away, remember. But he also did another thing, in that the religion that he taught was away from fasts and forms, as it's described. So he tried to take people away from the more common kind of religion, where it was mostly just ritual and ceremony. Because he had tremendous insight. Now, here's two things. He only met Jesus, I think, maybe once or twice. He met him when they were 5. And then they met again when they were 16. And that's when they both had come of age and they both knew of their destinies. Now, John was taught by his mother Elizabeth and Zechariah from birth that he was going to pave the way for the Son of Man, the Son of God, the bestowal Son. And in fact, it was Elizabeth, of two women that Gabriel appeared before. Elizabeth was the other person, Mary being the first. And in both cases, both of the women's husbands had dreams where they were given a message that there was something exciting about to transpire on the world. In paper 97, we learn from Moses to John the Baptist, there extended an unbroken line of faithful teachers who passed the monotheistic torch of light from one generation to another, while they unceasingly rebuked unscrupulous rulers, denounced and commercializing priests. So they were really a new establishment, a new way of the unbroken line of faithful teachers who kept to the truth of monotheism, one God over many. Then we learn in paper 135 that John was born 7 BC, the same year, and he was born 6 months before Christ Jesus being born on August 21st of that year. And this, of course, is factoring in the transition from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar, which is why it's 7 BC. I believe it is the Julian calendar didn't account for that quarter day. And so over time, you lose a day. And so when we convert it over to the Gregorian calendar, which is what we now use, if you account for the quarter days, then you have to move the when things happen back 7 years or however long you go back in time. So in this case, the Urantia book is attempting to be accurate in the exact distance of time between today and when John was born. And according to their records, it would be 7 BC, March 25th. And it was in accordance with the promise that Gabriel made to Elizabeth in June of the previous year. For 5 months, Elizabeth kept secret Gabriel's visitation. And then she finally told her husband, Zechariah, that we're having a son. And he will be the precursor to the deliverer. And then, of course, the sad, sad ending of John's life, because he, after all, was imprisoned. And he was causing too much of a stir in the neighborhood. He was growing popular. He was becoming a cult leader. And his watchwords were, repent. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And this was probably disrupting the religious order of the day. And so John the Baptist, like Jesus, was arrested. And John was frequent to rebuke people. He had a habit of calling out leaders, political leaders, and religious leaders, their hypocrisy. And it was the death of John the Baptist that came in the form of a beheading. John languished in prison for, I think, a couple of years while Jesus' public ministry began. And John, who was a faithful follower of Jesus, had to endure that time in prison, knowing full well that the very person that he was preaching and preparing the world for couldn't get him out, couldn't get him out of jail. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that his best friend, the man who was, that Gabriel, his own lieutenant, prepared the way for John to grow and be the seed that would sprout and help better prepare the soil for the coming of the Lord, as John would say. So it was that he accused the Herod's wife of being a whore, and that's all it took. And then through a drunken evening, a partying, I think they were celebrating Herod's daughter's birthday. And there was a big party in the palace. And Herod had had a one too few many. And he went up to his daughter and said, if you would ask me for half of my kingdom, I will give you half of my kingdom. What is it on this day that I can do for you, my daughter? And of course, in a prearranged plot of the wife of Herod, who had hated John the Baptist for humiliating her, they consorted to come up with a plan to bring to an end his life. And that plan was, of course, his daughter saying, bring me the head of John the Baptist, which Herod did. And Herod didn't want to do that, by the way. King Herod feared John the Baptist. He feared Jesus. They were unknown to him. There were a lot of conversations that Herod had with John and Jesus. You know, Herod actually is another interesting character on the pages of religious history. And so we honor him. John, of course, didn't know this, but he would go on to become one of the 4 and 20 elders, as is narrated in the Urantia Papers. So all of that that John went through, he lived a life and he put his faith on the line and he lived the life of a nomad. You know, they recently found the Dead Sea, more of the Dead Sea Scrolls in the very caves that John the Baptist lived as a Nazarene. He was a Nazarene priest, very orthodoxed. It's all about being clean and being pure. So today, of course, marking his, so if we were to put that in terms of how many years, 2004? Maybe more than that. 21 plus 20. So it's 2028 years ago that John the Baptist was born, March 25th, 7 BC. But I encourage you to read John the Baptist, the life, starting from page 135. And it's just a great story. I hope someday somebody with the right narrative will do a movie on John the Baptist, because he certainly deserves it. Okay, so there's some things going on in the Urantia community that I want to share with you. First of all, the Urantia Foundation has put out its UBIS notice. UBIS is, of course, the Internet School. And if you've not done it, I would encourage you to sign up for the course. It's easy. It's actually such an enjoyable experience, because you're basically reading the thoughts of others. Registration opens on April 12th. Orientation begins on April 19th, just around the corner. And you write, you read papers, and then you write your feelings about them or your understanding of them. And then you get to share that and read with other people and what they say. And it's a good learning experience. I've done it maybe three times. And they've got some good courses this year I want to share with you. So, for example, you could do a course on the Paradise Trinity. And it is considered basic. So if you're just getting interested in the Urantia book, the Paradise Trinity is a good place to start, because it's so central to everything that we understand about creation. And it helps to help you understand how one God and the Trinity works in relationship. Who are the deities? And you learn a lot about, it's a great place to start. You know, they say that when you are a kid, if you don't learn how to do the basics in math, and if you skip a step, let's say you do addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, and let's say you skip multiplication, well, it makes division very difficult to learn, because you've missed something that helps you understand, and it's sort of an evolution of knowledge. And so in the same way, when you read the early part of the Urantia book, which is the most difficult, sometimes you have to get your brain to start thinking a certain way so that the later appearing concepts will make more sense. And that's why they say they start from the complex and they work their way down. They say that the normal organic fashion that people approach knowledge is starting with the end and working your way backwards. Well, they started from the beginning. And so when you think about the Urantia book being a book that is a literal history book of creation, the only place you can start is the Paradise Trinity. And so that's one of the courses they're offering on the Urantia Book Internet School. And the facilitator will be Bruce Johnson. And he is a psychiatric nurse, and he lives in New York. And he's living in Colorado for 35 years. And he was 21 when he discovered the Urantia Book. And if you've gone to these symposiums in 2016 or 2019, you probably saw Mr. Johnson. Another course you could take in the Urantia Book Internet School is on the 19 appearances of Jesus in Urantia form and the whole story behind the Spirit of Truth. And that is also considered a basic course, and that's going to be taught by Dennis Sword, who has been a Urantia Book reader since the mid-70s and now has a prison ministry group in Oregon. So Dennis will be presenting the second article of exploration and understanding on the 19 Urantia appearances of Jesus. And then if you want to take a course in the evolution of human civilization, which covers papers 68 through 71, that will be taught by Katura Kira Bernard. And that is an intermediate course, and that would be fun to take if you're into Urantia history or world history. And Katu Kira lives in Uganda and works as an architect and a financial analyst. And that's interesting how you would have those two skill sets. And he discovered the book in 1997, and he's been reading it ever since. And he'll be teaching the course on the evolution of human civilization. And then we have Follow Me, and Jesus Said Follow Me. There's another course, Course 4. It's an intermediate course, and it's being taught by Marta Elders. She has been a student of the Urantia book since the late 1960s. And she is a licensed psychologist working in Connecticut. And she has been with the Urantia book movement for a long, long time. And then we have Course 5, Jesus' Approach to Teaching Living Truth. It's an intermediate course taught by Betty Zare. Betty and her husband Ralph are both students of the Urantia book since 1967. They also do a course on the post-pastoral age on Urantia, a perspective. That's something that we've talked about in recent podcasts. And that is also a course that you can take at the Urantia Book Internet School. And all of this, by the way, there's no charge. There's no charge at all. Pam Maunakea, I hope I pronounced her name right. She was introduced to the Urantia Book in 1970 while a sophomore in high school. Very lucky. She lives in Hawaii, and she is going to be teaching and facilitating the course on the post-pastoral age on Urantia. And then also we'll have a seventh course, Your Soul, The Real You, Origin, Growth, and Destiny. And I'm thinking of doing that one. Or I might do the Trinity, because either the first or the seventh course, those are the two that interest me. Ralph Zare also will be doing that as well. Ralph is facilitating one session, and his wife Betty is facilitating the other session on Jesus' approach to living truth. So all told, seven courses that you could possibly take. You pick one, and it's done over, I think, a 13-week period where you spend a week reading, and then you write what you feel about that particular paper, and then you read what other people write, and then there's a discussion that goes on. And it's a very, like I said, a very good experience. It teaches you a lot about how other people perceive the Urantia revelation. It's very enlightening. And you can pick up a few friends along the way. So we're about almost 15 minutes into this, and I want to just kind of close out this particular section on a couple of other things that are occurring. This, I guess, would be the Community Affairs edition of the Urantia Radio Podcast. There are some things that are coming up. As I mentioned, they've got the free online course, the UBIS, and then also there's going to be several events coming up. A virtual summer study session, July 22nd, which is the 11th annual Urantia Association International Conference, and that will be coming up, and it will be taking place April 24th and 25th this year by Zoom, and it will be free of charge. And show the legacy of the Violet Race. Remember the Violet Race, where a boat of about 40 Violet Adamites who got on a boat and went east, and then they just crossed the Pacific Ocean until they landed on the coast of Peru. And that'll be coming up on April 24th and 25th. And that is a virtual experience. And Zoom is quite easy to use. If you want more information, just go on their website, which is urantia.association.org. And then finally, just a quick note. We are going to do something special in the next podcast, in that we celebrate Easter. And I'm going to share some very cool passages about the Urantia book and the Jesus bestowal in the next episode of the podcast. So we'll be doing that next week.